Today on Real Radio.
When the Holy Spirit was waiting alongside the wings, the corridors, and you said, Lord, come into my life. Jesus, save me. He just stepped right on in. And in that moment of time, there was a stamp laid upon your heart and at the same time in heaven, and you were recorded once and for all. And you, though you may doubt that event in your life sometimes, the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit was there when you were born.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're asking the question, are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? It's a mini-series that examines chapter 1, where Paul's opening remarks of the letter mention this principle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called, Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit?
It's one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible, and we've come to the greatest verses in probably the book. Last week, together, we kicked off verse 13. We'll complete verse 13 tonight into verse 14. And then probably next week, believe it or not, it's very possible that we'll complete the chapter. And no, really, I mean that. I really do. We're asking the question in part two of our study, are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? And we made mention last time together that if you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to know it. You're going to experience God's activity in your life. You're not going to have to guess if you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's something that every believer will have experience in their life. Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer, you will be. You are. And it is that amazing thing that God does at the moment of conversion. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians, we'll come to it later on, where we are to be continually baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, over and over and over again. But that is the Holy Spirit coming upon us for power and for victory in the Christian walk. And by the way, when we come to that study, we're going to ask the entire body, all three Sunday mornings, to come to the Wednesday night service. And I'm expecting that if we'll come and study that word together and take time, and we will take time to pray, and to ask God to baptize us again in the Holy Spirit, that we will experience the greatest thing of all. You know, a lot of people are arguing today, you know, are you born again? Well, if you're born again, you'll speak in tongues. You know, that's not in the Bible. People want to argue that. It happened at the day of Pentecost, yeah. But when Peter and Paul and others were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, it says, and then they spoke the word with boldness. And you can chase all of those avenues out to your heart's content. The bottom line of it all is if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, where He's governing your life, you know what's going to be the main prominent thing of that fact? Will be the love of the Spirit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit, which is, I believe, love. And if you have the love of the Holy Spirit in your life, all of the other things are going to follow. Peace, mercy, all of these things that are connected to the Holy Spirit, all of the fruits of the Spirit. But that is a subsequent event that will happen to those who are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so what does it mean? And then from here tonight, we'll get into what is this guarantee that we have in the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, it says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of His glory. And so are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? We're asking that question, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And thinking about that, maybe you can relate to this story, but personally with you. You don't have to lean on my story. Maybe you have your own story concerning the birth of your firstborn child. August 13th, 1982, Friday the 13th to be specific, at 24 minutes after 4 o'clock, Orange County, California, Children's Hospital there, St. Joseph's, Rebecca was coming out. And being the good dad that I was, the coach, Lamaze team thing, I got my cap on, I got my jersey going, I got a camera around my neck, and Lisa and I went through the whole thing, and you know, we had our little focal point, and you know, and we got it down. Even now when we stub our toe, it's focal point. It doesn't hurt. I can get through this, you know. And we made it. And then, you know, roller into delivery, and we're all there. And now my job's done. The doctor just says, you know, you can stand over there now. And the whole deal starts to come to the great conclusion, or to the beginning, I guess. And we've got a great picture, man. Right when Rebecca came out, Dr. Lindsay holds up Rebecca, and I'm standing at Lisa's head, and I got the picture, and the clock's right over his head, and it's just a great shot. She's connected, you know. Looks like an astronaut walking in space. She's got this cord, you know, but I got that picture. And as soon as they cut that cord and put that big safety pin or paper clip on that cord, they handed the baby to me, and I went over there, and I got to give her her first bath, you know, and she's jerking around, moving kind of weird, and they've got that Vernex or whatever it's called. It's been years, but it's that slick stuff, you know, and you're washing that off, and they stop crying, and you're looking at him, you know, and you're just, it's amazing. And from that moment on, the nurses said, come on, Daddy, let's go this way, and I went everywhere where Rebecca went, and they stuck her with the needle and took the blood to determine the level of the test. You know, where does she fall in the category, the scale? And then they gave her a vitamin K shot and all the stuff that's going on. And the doctor, the nurse is there, and the nurse is recording the moment of the birth and all of this stuff. And it was a record. And then that record is taken and it is stamped on. There's a seal given. And that's her mark. In her young life, she's real. She belongs to us. She was born in Orange County, California. It says so. It's an official record. And we were there. We were there to see her birth. She can come to us and say, I don't know if I'm really your child. You know, I don't quite look like you. And, well, you know what? I know that you're our child. Oh, I don't know. You know, what if this, or what if that, or what if you found me somewhere? No, you're our child. Well, how do you know? Because I was there when you were born. And the Holy Spirit was there the day that you were born. When the Holy Spirit was waiting alongside the wings, the corridors, and you said, Lord, come into my life. Jesus, save me. He just stepped right on in. He just took right on over. And in that moment of time, there was a stamp laid upon your heart, and at the same time in heaven, and you were recorded once and for all. And you, though you may doubt that event in your life sometimes, the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit was there when you were born. And it's a glorious thing what the Lord does when we come to Him. It says here in the latter portion of verse 13, it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This word sealed means to be stamped with a signet ring, or to be personally embossed or marked. It is for security. It is for preservation. It is the mark of genuineness or ownership. All of that meaning in that little word sealed, isn't that amazing? You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And what does all this mean? What kind of language was Paul using here? Well, you got to remember he's in the area, or he's writing to the area of the Ephesian church. And we just came through the book of Acts. Remember the port of Puteoli? All you Italians corrected me after those services, and I'm still pronouncing it wrong. I can't remember how it went, but I do remember this. I'm supposed to move my hand when I say it, but that great port, the vessels from all around the world, the ships would bring in these goods. And there was a place there called the Free Market. And it was rather amazing. And as the ships came in and unloaded goods from all over the world, and people would begin to buy and to barter and bargain back and forth, and hands would be waving and transactions are taking place in this free market as the ships were unloading all of their goods, there would be those who were walking around, though, quite stately and quite comfortable in the midst of all of the rush and the hubbub in this great port that the freight's coming in. And these guys were buyers for their masters or for their employers. And the culture in that time, if you were wealthy and if you had the resources, you would dispatch some of your buyers to various places in the known world, and they would be looking for that very item or things that they knew would catch your eye, and they had authority to buy for you. William Randolph Hearst. Have you ever been to the Hearst Castle? If you've never been, you ought to go see it. You should make time to see it. It's pretty amazing. William Randolph Hearst, true story. Heard about this Rembrandt painting that he wanted to buy. Heard about it, read up on it, and he saw it in an article, and he sent his buyers out around the world to find it. They were gone for 3.5 years. They came back and they said, "We have searched all the records. We have been everywhere concerning this Rembrandt that you're looking for. And we have found it nowhere out there in the world. Can't find it." He says, "I've got to have it." And they said, "Well, Mr. Hearst, the fact of the matter is, it's in your warehouse. You've had it for years. You bought it a long time ago." See, the buyer knew what he would like, heard about it before, went out and did the transaction and brought it home. In this great seaport, there would be those making a free market exchange. "Hey, I'll take that. I'll take that one. I'll take 5 of those." But there was the buyer. The buyer would be standing there and he would calmly and peacefully be looking at an... Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is, right over there. Walk over there and he would take that crate or that very item. And then his servants would come and they would cart that item by camel or by caravan all the way to where the owner was at, and he would take possession of that good. And how did that work? Well, that buyer in that place somewhere in far distant lands would see that item and say, that's exactly what my master wants, and would go up there and would put a down payment on that item. But not only that, that item would be wrapped up and there would be a string or rope tied around that item, and they would heat up some wax and put the wax at the intersection of those strings. You know where you put your finger to tie the knot? Right there. And they would take the signet ring of the master and stamp that ring into that hot wax. And if you broke that seal, it was punishable by death. Just with the down payment, then the seal, the transaction was settled, and the owner, wherever he might be, would await the reception or the taking or the delivery of the purchased possession. That's why when the goods arrived in port, there was no franticness on the side of the buyer, the agent for the owner. He simply claimed it, got the man, carted it off to where the owner was. It was sealed. It was stamped with the seal of that owner, and it meant protection, it meant payment, it meant delivery. From start to finish, it was complete. And Paul, in this Ephesian city, to this church at Ephesus, said to them, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit." And they all went, "Oh, man. Let's read that line one more time in this letter." Can you read that part again? Have you ever gotten a letter like that? Can you read that again? I cannot read any writing unless it's printed out on my computer. I just can't read it. And women write so nice and so fancy, and I can never read that writing. It's so fancy. Is that an S or an F? What is that? You know, it's got to be printed out, you know, for me. And so I'll often say, Lisa, can you read this to me? It's so fancy, I can't read this. And she'll read it, and you come across something, and it's, you know, Jack, I think you've lost some weight. And it's like, can you read that again? You know, one more time. And it's something that, you know, means something to you. And so they must have said, you know what? We understand what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Just by the word He used, we can all relate to that. Can you say it one more time? Can somebody read that one more time? We're sealed. What a beautiful thing. By the way, God's going to do that again. And He's doing it now, praise the Lord, in many lives. But in the tribulation period, to see a little example of this, God's going to do it again with His great servants during the tribulation period. Revelation 7, verse 3, it says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. God will seal His servants. Same word, stamp them. They're going to be marked out for God. But verse 13 begins the entire redemptive process laid out before us, and it will culminate in verse 14. It is so fantastic. We saw last week where it says that there's the hearing of the gospel. By the way, that's the work that we ought to be doing all the time. We're coming up on a work to go evangelize. Get the word out there. We all responded by hearing the gospel at some point in time of our lives. Hearing the gospel. You heard it somehow. Isn't that amazing? Now, you may have heard the gospel presentation many times before. But there was a moment in time when you heard the gospel. And it clicked. And you went, man, that's what I need to do. I need to choose Christ. You heard the gospel. It says there that you believed. And then now it says that you were sealed. This great transaction that took place. And so, let's go on. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. What does this mean? Why don't you turn to Luke 24. Hold your finger right here in Ephesians and go a little bit to the left to Luke 24. Luke 24 to verse 46. Then He said to them, Jesus, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. He's talking to the Emmaus Road disciples. And that repentance, verse 47, and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or baptized with power from on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit being the promise. Jesus said earlier on in John's Gospel, I will send you the promise. So what is the promise? Listen. Let the Bible be the commentary on the Bible. You can open up a lot of commentaries and they're going to tell you what the promise is. Jesus tells you who the promise and what the promise is. It is the Holy Spirit. So in verse 13, it says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's not only speaking about the Holy Spirit in His work, what He does. Jesus said He'll come. But the very promise that is made to us. It is the Holy Spirit who will bring to pass the promises of God in our life. Isn't that a credible thing? It's not you. Somebody makes us a promise, and then that promise is possibly in jeopardy. We really want it. I promise you, I'll do it. Oh, good. You know what He promised? Oh, I'm so excited. Well, what happens if there's a little bit of wavering, you know? But you promised! We'll so easily, quickly take the words of men and just have absolute peace. You know what? He gave me His Word, and I'm just going to rest in that. And well, God's given us His Word. And what do? We read the promises. Oh, Lord, Are you really going to do it? Oh God, has He ever broken a promise? And yet we run around like a chicken with our heads cut off. We're so funny. But somebody will say, I promise I'll be there at 5. It's 5:10. 5:20. Jesus says, I'll be there. And He's there every time. I'll do this. I'll fulfill that because He has said so. And the Holy Spirit will see to it. Promise. This is a word to make to mean to make announcement. The Holy Spirit of announcement. The Holy Spirit of guarantee, of pledge, of assurance. The Holy Spirit of assurance. And it's announcing not only this, listen, the seal is a tangible thing. He stamps the Holy Spirit's ownership on our heart, and then the Holy Spirit turns around and makes a proclamation, a promise. And that's the meaning of the verse that says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. What is He saying to us? He's speaking words of assurance to us. Did I say insurance? Assurance. Maybe insurance too, right? Fire insurance? Thou shalt not burn, you know. Promise. He's given us promise. Given us a pledge. And by the way, this is really, this is very precious. Because it speaks of a wedding. Promise. We're going to get more into this because the words are aligned this way, but it goes with this kind of thinking, and Paul is using these words. If I were engaged to a woman, that engagement first began with the asking, and then the ring is taken, and you know, will you marry me? Yes. There goes the ring. And, you know, why do we even do that? That ring is an announcement. It's a promise that you're spoken for. You're taken. And listen, when love is involved, that bride-to-be is very glad to get that ring.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's part of a mini-series called Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit? A look at verses 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 1. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, one of the most infamous dates in all U.S. history is coming up. We all see the bumper stickers that remind us never to forget, and we hope that every Real Radio listener never will. Well, to help us better understand the terrorism, carnage, and Antichrist views of Islam, we are once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. The author refuses to keep silent in this politically correct society of ours, and warns Westerners about this very real threat. If you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage once again. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.